In the other room. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I so move.
I second.
Any discussion or proposed changes?
Organizational chart. Okay, we're gonna, never mind. Okay.
Okay. So.
No, that's good.
Okay.
All in favor of approving the agenda as presented?
Aye.
Okay. Public comment. You can address the commission on any item related to port business, whether it's on the agenda tonight or not. There will also be a public comment period after the presentation. So if you want to hold off until after the presentation, you can. Ed, do you want to hold off? Bill?
Hold off.
Okay. Any other? Okay. Cool. So we're going to ask BST Associates to present the results of this mortgage rate study. Paul Sorensen and
Brian Winningham.
Which is the winningest name I've heard all day. And after they have presented the results of the study, then we'll have an opportunity for good conversation, comments from the floor, et cetera. So,
Thank you're on. Thank you so much. I'm Paul Sorensen. This is Brian Winningham, and we're happy to be here. So let me describe to you what we were asked to do. We were asked to take a look at your existing market rates and how those rates might change in the future using two different models. The first one is a cost recovery model. Brian's going to go through all the details on that. It looks at the full cost to cover all of your operations and maintenance costs as well as your annual capital costs.
So frequently in marina studies and a lot of port charges, there isn't money put aside to take care of the capital costs. So we look at this from the perspective of the ports being a steward for the community and making sure that the marina stays in good condition and that it's got the ability to move forward. And our central tenet, really, our belief is that the marina users should pay rates that can cover all of those costs. So the cost recovery is one way that we look at it. What we have found, though, is that typically the rates that the model suggests should be charged are too high to be accepted within the market conditions. And as we look at Kitsap County, we're very concerned for a lot of the marinas in Kitsap County and Jefferson County and Clallam County that the rates are too low and that there isn't enough money over operations and maintenance costs to pay for capital development. And what that then requires is a subsidy from other lines of business of the port or from the taxpayers. So some of the material that Brian presented last time were that there are some 4,700 voters in the district. There's 106 boat owners that live in the district. And the rest of the boat owners, there's 260 total, so almost 160, 154 are from outside the district. After the cost recovery model, Brian is going to talk about market rates. And we've tried to use the regional rates where we can, but again, our concern in looking at the market rates for this area is that they're just too low. They aren't sustainable. We've done market rate studies for Port Angeles, for Bremerton and Port Orchard, for Laconer, for Cap Sandy Marina, for a variety of other marinas. And these are some of the lowest rates that we've seen. So with that in mind, I'm going to turn it over to Brian, but I also tell you that part of our philosophy is that we appreciate from the voter's perspective that any real large jumps from one year to another are unacceptable. So if there's going to be a change, we're recommending that these go smoothly in. Brian's going to show you in a bit here that 5 years out, we've got rate increases that still keep you below the market rate for your region for open slips and covered slips. So that 5 years out, you're still below the market rate right now. So I hope you take that into context as you're listening to what we say, and we'd like to present to you now and then answer any questions that you have afterwards.
All right, thanks, Paul. Yeah, so as Paul said, for the agenda, there's three things we want to go through. We'll talk about how we developed the cost recovery model and go into the details of that. We'll discuss the competitive market rates, and then we'll show what our draft recommendations for rates. So we'll start with the cost recovery model. The first thing we look at is the revenues for the port. And the top line here shows the trends in this is port operating revenues. So total operating revenues have grown from approximately $1.3 million in 2013 to $1.54 in 2018 budget. Marina user charges are the majority of that, $900,000 this year. Other revenues, including rent, the ferry terminal lease, and some other rents, generate the rest of that. In the middle of this page, looking at just the marina revenues, permanent moorage generates the majority of that, $700,000 out of $900,000. So on the bottom you see permanent moorage accounts for about 77% of marina revenue, and other user charges, transient moorage, utilities, and some of the other fees account for the rest of marina charges or marina revenues.
Yep. So just to be clear, $1.5 million in revenue is a budget for 2018.
Correct.
$912,000 of it is from permanent moorage.
From all marina charges. All marina charges. Permanent moorage is $700,000.
Yep. So 1.5, you've explained $900,000 of it here, of what the 1.5. Where it comes from?
1.5, and the other 600 is from other port revenues, parking lot and parking revenues, ferry terminal.
Taxes.
Taxes are not included. This is operating revenues.
Okay.
So a couple of summary points. Port operating revenues have grown at an average of 4% per year over the last 5 years, 2013 through 2018 budget. Marina user charges have grown at 2.6%. And then this permanent moorage accounts for 77% of marina user charges and 45% of port operating revenue. And that 77% is a number we'll use later in the model. So this is quite a few numbers up on the screen, but this shows on the expense side, operating expenses. Largest expense, payroll. Second is operations. Below that, recent years there's been some legal expenses. A couple of big ones here in 2015, 16, and 17, there were some purchase of capital assets. 2015 was dredging. 2016 was the beginning of the roof project and some various other projects. 2017 was roofs for the covered moors also. And I think the port started charging some higher rates for covered in 2013 or 2014 to put money away for this project and paid for that on a cash basis. Overall, total operating expenses have grown at 7.9% over the 2013 through 2018 budget.
One quick question.
Yep.
So the purchase of capital assets are not associated with anything outside of the marina itself, such as properties that the port has acquired that are close to the marina.
Correct. This is marina purchases.
Mm-hmm. And on the rates for covered moorage, is that designed to pay for the capital costs of
My understanding is the increase in the covered rate was to pay for the roof, or to help pay for the roof project. So, a couple summary points: 7.9% growth in expenses over the last 5 or 6 years. As a bit of comparison, inflation or the CPI increased at only 2.3% per year. So expenses have grown fairly quickly. This is what's happened with rates 2014 through 2018. The smallest slips, open 24-footers, have been increasing about 1.5% per year, so less than the rate of inflation. The other open docks, 2.2%. And the covered slips at 3.5% per year. So I hope you can read this. This is where we calculate what the cost recovery is. So the direct operating expenses, we are trying to, the goal of this is to allocate, figure out how much of the expenses are directly related to permanent moorage. And if you remember from the first table, 77% of marina revenues, marina user charges, were from permanent moorage. We took the total marina expenses, multiplied that times 77% to get the $1,032,000. So it's the direct operating expenses related to permanent moorage. The annual replacement cost is based on the value of the marina facilities as they are now, the depreciation. I think current value is $11.8 million or so, divided by 15 years is $785,000. And again, multiplying that times 77% allocate to the permanent moorage comes up with $603,000 per year that you would need to replace the capital of the marina. So combining the $1 million plus the $600,000 shows that the total annual marina cost related to permanent moorage is $1,635,000. I think Paul mentioned it, and we talked about this last time I was here. Our goal in this cost replacement is to figure out on a square foot basis what are the costs. The reason for that is the marina is really no different than any other real estate deal. Most real estate is leased on a square foot basis. For some reason, marinas historically weren't done that way. Most of the ones that we've worked with have been switching over to a square foot rate. And the square foot rate, it ends up, we calculate it back into a linear foot rate. But the idea with this is that a 24-foot boat is 8 feet, has an 8-foot beam, only takes up this many square feet. A 60-foot boat at 20-foot beam takes up substantially more. So they should all pay the same rate per square foot. If you don't do it that way, then the bigger boats pay a lower rate per square foot. So it's basically a matter of equity. We calculated that the area available for lease in the marina is 125,850 square feet. So if you divide the 1.6 million by 126,000 square feet, and then divide it by 12, you get $1 per square foot per month. So the basis for these rates is $1.08 per square foot per month. The differential between moorage rates for covered and open moorage is about 57%. So the covered moorage rates are about 57% higher than the open. If we apply that factor to this $1.08 rate basis, we come up with a recommended rate basis for open slips of 76 cents and covered slips of $1.19. So that's a 57% difference between those two. Ask questions if you need to. Yeah.
Square footage. You go just the square footage for the water, or do you go square footage for...
We've done it. Yeah, we've done it three different ways, but yeah, we've done this three different ways, and it ends up being about the same. This, we took the square foot area in between the slips of the water. You could also include the area covered by the walkways and the finger piers. You could also look at the fairways and try to allocate it. We've worked on this before, and it ends up being about the same.
It's all proportional.
Yeah. So when your square footage of rentable, you didn't include the docks?
The docks are not included. It's just the water area inside the slips.
Apples to apples.
Correct.
So are there any other questions? Because I myself had to look hard at this to understand all the information that was here.
Okay. So what does this mean in terms of cost? Oh, yeah.
The slip area, you're saying, in between the docks. So if the 45-foot slip, 30-foot width between this side and that side, so the boat would be paying for 15 feet.
Correct.
That's boat plus extra space if there's a 10-foot wide boat. You're charging in for five feet by 40 feet long that he isn't using.
Correct. We took that water area, put a line down the middle of it, and so each slip will have half of it.
Okay. So if a guy has a wide boat, he gets a better deal than a guy with a narrow boat if they're set side by side in the same two-partner slip.
Yes. Okay, so what does that mean in terms of what would the rates be to recover the costs? So here we lay out each slip length and what the width is of that water per slip and calculate the total slip area and multiply that times for the open slips, was it 76 cents a square foot, and for the covered, the higher rate. And this shows what, in the middle columns there, the per linear foot rate, right, ranges from 815 for 24 foot open to 14 for 60, and coverage from 17 to 2144. As you see over on the right in the bullet points, those are big increases, you know, from 44 to 140% on the open and 83 to 127% increase. These are full cost recovery rates, and we understand that they're higher than the market, and you can't get those rates here. But the importance of this is to lay out to show the public and the commissioners what is the true cost of operating the marina. So basically, if you're not paying for it all through the mortgage rates, then the money is coming from other sources. So moving on to market rates. We've got a page here for covered rates and one for open. And these include all fees and taxes. And this is one thing we always have to be careful of when comparing rates, is to make sure that everything is included, because some marinas will give you a base rate and then there's got an environmental fee and a leasehold tax and various other ones. So these include all fees. Covered is a little hard here to come up with very many comparable marinas, because Kitsap County does not have much covered moorage, but Kitsap, Clallam, and Jefferson don't have much covered moorage. So we show Port Orchard on the top. Kingston rates are down third from the bottom. So Kingston and Port Orchard, like for 36-foot covered, are about the same. Oak Harbor on Whidbey Island is higher. And then we looked at the only other covered moorage in the whole region are over on the east side of the Sound, and they're all substantially higher than here.
Yep. Question. Yeah. In the covered rates you have ever listed, but in the same market rates open, they're not included.
Right. We actually have more rates than these than we have shown here, but we've got more of them in the spreadsheet. There's only so many we could show on the table. But
well, reason is we really wanted to make sure that if we had comparable rates for the region, for Kitsap, Jefferson, Clallam, that we used those rates. But we only had one comparable marina for covered, so we went on the other side to get those rates.
So you notice that most of the open ones are over on this side of the water.
All of them are.
Okay, all of them. All the open ones are on this side. Covered, there just aren't many.
You're mixing apples and oranges. You're saying the cost comparison for a covered moorage in Everett, but you don't cover the open moorages in Everett.
That's true.
As a comparison.
That's true.
You know, well, some marina may have a better deal on a covered moorage and you're putting it in here, or the opposite way. It's a bad effect on it, and it will raise the rates up or down. You know, apples to apples, oranges to oranges.
I think it's a point well taken. I think when Brian starts showing you the open rates, there's a lot of marinas that are charging around $6 a foot in Kitsap, and we put all of those in there.
Okay.
So I would think on that basis, there's a lower basis in the open than there is in the covered. But we had to get something for comp, so we had to go across the water. Now, this is a really an interesting thing that we run into a lot, is that basically to build a marina here costs the same amount or maybe even more than it is to build in Seattle for the construction, because the construction folks are there or closer to the location than they are here. So if we're talking about construction costs being about the same and operations and maintenance costs being about the same, then I think where you're heading with me is that it ought to be a sound-wide comparison, where it takes the west and the east sides of the sound and does the average from that standpoint. And so since we only looked at open rates that were on this side of the water, we're on the lower side than we are for the covered. So I'm agreeing with you, but explaining that the construction costs are really another key element to this, and that there isn't any, it isn't any cheaper to build here than it is in Seattle.
So bottom line on this would be, including all these marinas that we have here, we can, you know, this is draft, so we can discuss with the commissioners how to proceed, but you know, you're about the same as Port Orchard, about the same as Oak Harbor, slightly lower, but substantially lower than anything over on the other side of the water,
except for Oak Harbor at the higher ends. Most of these marinas have a progressive system where the rates increase with length.
So, on the open, again, a lot of numbers on this one. We wanted to get as many.
Why don't you go down on the cover first and do the percent.
So, the bottom line on this, the bottom two lines, the rates here in Kingston are 12% to 31% under the average for the ones we show. And if you look at the top quartile, the top 25% of rates, Kingston is 21 to 35% lower.
So now again, just as we weren't recommending that we increase the cost recovery rates all in one pop, we're not suggesting that for these comparisons either. But the fact that you're so much lower than the average, and that we really would put you in the upper quartile, because it's a good marina in good condition with a proper amount of amenities and services, compared with some of the other marinas that we've got included.
However, if a marina has good amenities and they're charging appropriately for it, you can't justify raising the rates here if you don't have the equivalent amenities at this marina. You know, again, you're charging money for something that doesn't exist.
What would you be recommending that is an amenity that doesn't exist here that exists somewhere else?
How long of a list do you want?
We do a lot of marina work, and I would put this marina up with the marinas on the list.
For, you know, strictly tying the boat in here, there. Kingston Marina is excellent. However, there are other marinas that have complete pump-out facilities on each of the docks. There is decent Wi-Fi, you know, at the other docks. Say, for instance, if a marina has a daily cleaning schedule to clean off the bird and otter poop, and there is not one at a marina. You know, you can't charge for cleaning if you don't do it. You know, the other marina has got it built in. What, you know, after all, people are going to get a little upset. If you have lousy security gates where people can get on and steal things, that's, you can't charge for a security system. Say you're charging for a security system that doesn't exist, and when the poor one has been in place for years. I mean, you know, apples and oranges. And I can see from the numbers going up here, don't look good to me. You know, I know what size slip I'm in. I know what I pay now. And, you know, I'm not covered. I'm open. But when you get to propose, you know, it hurts when, you know, when you're on a fixed income. You know, really hurts.
Well, let's move through and get to the proposed rates.
Thank you.
You bet. So on the open, we have a lot bigger list. Like Paul said, there's a lot more comparable marinas on this side. A lot of marinas with open moorage. Again, looking at the bottom lines, Kingston compared to the average of all these marinas we show here is 23%. To 28% lower, depending on the length. Or I guess 18 to 28% lower. If you look at the upper quartile, the more expensive ones, Kingston is, 31 to 29 to 40% lower. And like Paul said, we included a variety of marinas in here. We've got Brownsville and, you know, Paulsboro, which are both very low cost, Homeport Brennan over on Hood Canal, as well as Port Ludlow and Winslow Wharf and some of the others on Bainbridge. Before I go on, I should also say that these are all in rates, including the leasehold tax and all other fees.
Right.
So, you say you've gotten to the proposed rate page. This is what we're showing. As Paul said, we don't think it makes sense to try to put in a big rate increase all at once. If it's necessary to increase rates to cover costs, it should be phased in over time. So what we show here is a 5-year phase-in of rates. We compare it to what the current market is and what the cost recovery rate would be. On the low end, we have it growing at 2.3%, which is essentially the rate of inflation. We really don't think a marina should not increase rates by the rate of inflation each year, just to stay even. And we could argue that capital costs increase faster than 2.3%, but this, at a minimum, you should be increasing rates at the rate of inflation. And what these do, what we've done here is step it up, setting a minimum of 2.3% growth for the smaller ones, and then increasingly higher annual growth rates for each of the larger slips. And what this does over time is get you closer to a square foot rate, although not exactly a square foot rate, but it's closer. But as you'll see, even with these growth rates we put in here, if you look at the current market rate for 24-foot open, even after 5 years, the rates don't reach the current market rate. For a 60-footer, you get to $9. It's about at market rate, the current market rate 5 years out. On the covered side, the smaller the 32s get up to market rate, the current market rate, but the other ones are lower than the market rate.
So here's the dilemma from our perspective, is that we want to give certainty to boaters that rates are increasing. But we know all these other marinas are going to be increasing their rates as well. So it reaching an equilibrium where 5 years out, you're at the market rates that other marinas are at now, doesn't seem to us to be moving the envelope enough. So if anything, I think these rate increases that we're suggesting are too low.
And especially if you look at the final column, the cost recovery column, you look at a 60-foot open slip with cost recovery at $1,583 per linear foot. The increases we've proposed here only get you up to $9, so still substantially under the cost recovery rate.
Just 9. So these are the current rates of the linear foot. Slide 9, yeah.
Yep.
So we're in a tight burn, but so 584 per linear foot.
Yes. That's without the leasehold tax.
Correct.
Yeah.
And okay, so then on slide 12, that those rates include the.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're based on the market rates. For the market rates, we include the all-in rate, which is leasehold tax, and some marinas have a DNR fee or an environmental fee or all of those other fees. So these are all-in rates.
And then for cost recovery, what are the costs, besides operating costs, what is the capital costs? Is that in here anywhere that we're trying to recover in the ramp up of rates?
Yes.
Yes.
On this page, page 5, we show what all these are. All the operating costs, and I don't think I mentioned.
I think you're talking about the capital cost.
Oh, the capital.
Yeah, go to the cost recovery model. There we go.
No.
There's $603,000.
Yeah, the $603,000 is the annual amount to cover capital for the permanent mortgage.
And again, that's based on the depreciation of an asset that's currently worth, I think it's $11.8 million divided by 15 years, estimated 15-year life left in the facilities.
One thing we do know about depreciated costs, too, is that they're too low. Brian mentioned the CPI and the rate of increase of capital costs. Capital costs are growing at least at 3.5% per year.
The actual inflation costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot different. Yeah.
So, but it's. So it's
there's a flaw in that, too, because if you're to replace that, you cannot replace it with a present type of material.
Right, exactly.
Those are much more expensive.
More that value.
You're using extruded aluminum.
Yep.
And you got to use all kinds of fancy stuff that are required by the state of Washington.
Right.
And not going to get around it.
Right, there's a couple ways we could do this. If we had actual construction costs, if this was a new marina that was being designed, we would use those costs. And not having that, the depreciation's the.
Yeah, the bottom line is this is a number to put in there, but it's probably a low number.
Pretty low, actually.
Yeah. So just kind of summing up on that, we looked at this from a couple of different perspectives. One is a cost replacement. Knowing what your O&M costs are and your capital costs, or at least an estimate of it, on a square foot basis, then what would it cost? And those rates were substantially higher than we think you can get to now. And then we looked at the markets, and we saw what the market rates for the open and covered slips, and those rates, you're 20 to 40% or thereabouts lower than what the market is. So our proposal is to step you into something, but go to the next page, Brian. My real concern is that, you could apply this so that you've got certainty in terms of, as a boater, what the rate increases are. I think we would recommend the commission consider doing this in 3 years and then see what happens to the market rates for other marinas. We've done the mortgage rate studies in the past for Paulsbo. I know they're in a different situation. They have some failed systems. And getting back to just looking at being a steward of the marinas, most of the marinas in Puget Sound are 35 to 50 years old. There isn't capital funds put aside. In most cases, there isn't capital funds available to the owner of those marinas to replace them. So in terms of being the steward of the community and making sure that asset is in good shape, we think you need to start raising rates and do it in a way that's modest to begin with, but then that you know that you've got a minimum of 2.3% and that it's going to grow beyond that. That would be our recommendation for the commission to consider. But I do think the way we've done it, we're on the low side of what the increases ought to be.
Just to make sure I'm following along here on slide 12. So we're at 28, so 659 for 2018 goes to $74 for 2019.
Right.
So is that $3 a month?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we are late.
We got to explain that the 24 to 28 foot people have been paying a much higher square footage rate than the 40s and 50s.
Yes.
Right. We had a slide when I was here last time. We showed that the difference. What's the rate per square foot you're paying when you're paying it on a linear foot? And it's two or three times as much per square foot for the smallest boats that it is for the biggest.
The other key here, too, is that looking at boats that are in those 24 and 28-foot slips, you've got an option, which is to take your boat out. And so we see a lot of seasonality in Everett and Olympia and other places that we work. And so raising those too rapidly, I think, that's why I think you have to be sensitive about what happens to occupancy and vacancy rates and judge accordingly as you move through time. Yeah.
Well, there's another recommendation you might make then in that situation, and is that you should maybe convert some of those 24s and 28s to larger stalls and not offer the smaller stall, because you can't sustain the marina offering those little rates.
I think that's something to consider. That certainly is a rebuild. So when it comes time to that, certainly something to consider. Our theory right now is that because most marinas are on in years, with a few years left, that you should get as much as you possibly can out of what you got now. And then look at that when it comes to that time and do some serious consideration of what, if you reconfigured, what slip mix would you have?
So with regards to the capital budget again, okay, I get it, 15 years, is there anything big coming up in the next year or two that we're going to have to address? Like, not 15 years from now that we won't be able to get ready for with the small increases going on and on? Or?
That's not one for us.
Yeah.
Are we in the normal life cycle for everything, or is there some big monster out there 5 years from now?
Not really, Brian. Not really. Like I said, we just have to go back and address all of our infrastructure right now and polish up what we have as far as, refloating into the finger piers and replacing, this and that and restringing that, and taking care of our parking lot and maybe, looking for a grant to redo our middle bathrooms. But as far as the tenants go, there's nothing that's really out there that's going to, that has to be done.
One thing you're missing, GFI.
Yeah, no, that's on our radar, too.
It's a big dollar item. Yeah.
So, but that's on our radar.
GFI.
Ground fault.
On the electrical system.
Electrical.
There's all the brand new regulations out now.
Right.
They had them about 2 years ago, and then they upped them again.
Yes.
So we're talking serious ground fault because of electrocution.
And we've been working with Bainbridge Electric on that too, just coming up, on the side plan with that too, to address what he's saying, correct. So,
Ray, your concerns about the dredging?
And then the other thing that I've got a big concern about also is the dredging right now. So we've gained a lot of silt that came out of the culverts over there right now, and it's happening faster than we're probably aware of right now. But if you're out there, if you do a whole overhead view like Commissioner Heacock, it shows it right now. It's coming faster than we think and know. And so that's definitely going to have to be addressed, if we work with the county and the government when they put that culvert in there and see what our options are. But, that's definitely a concern of mine.
And that's a 700,000 last time it was done.
There's some pilings as well on the maintenance program that will happen in the next 5 years. We have a five-year exemption permit for maintenance activities, so there's a few other things that we've added to that program. The piling replacement, you cannot, use some of the pilings that are here, obviously.
Sure.
Old creosote pilings, and you cannot replace that in kind, if you will, so you have to go with the galvanized steel piling and the removal of the creosote piling has to be taken to Rabanco and properly disposed of and all that. So that kind of thing is also a cost.
In our comprehensive plan that we're working on right now, we're coming up with what do we see happening in the next, or needs to happen in the next 5 years? What needs to happen in the next 10 years, next 15, 20 years? So we're trying to not just look at the next 1 or 2 years, we're trying to look outward to see what we're looking at down here instead of just up here.
Yeah, I think that's really smart, because while depreciation and depreciable life is all interesting, things often last way longer than you think they will. And so, yeah, it's a good measure of cost recovery.
Yes.
But looking at what's really happening is probably more important.
That's
you guys would have a better sense of do the numbers, does it seem like they're going to be helpful enough for what you need for the budget?
And we have a harbor master who's very in tune with our marina, who's been a part of it for many, many years, and who's involved in our discussions on coming up with, okay, this is what we're looking at down the road. But anybody who's invited to come and sit in on our comprehensive plan studies that we're doing, workshops that we're doing, because we're doing it right now.
And there will be public hearings to review comp plan, project lists, budgets for the next 2 months. There's a whole program of meetings, so we'll share that with you.
Yes.
Other questions? Bill?
No questions. I'm not a boat owner here at the marina, so I came by for my first visit with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Ed, did you have any comments you wanted to make?
Well, I'm glad that you've done this study, and I don't think you can not take their recommendations and use them, because I think it would result in a lawsuit, because I already know that that suit has been done in Seattle and won, and you'll pay all the costs then. So it's any taxpayer of the 4,000 taxpayers that are paying poor taxes could bring that lawsuit, because we all are part of it. And I think you have to follow their recommendations or get somebody else that's better that might give you a lower if you want to go lower. But you'd have to say that they're better than these guys. It's going to be hard to say there's anybody better than these guys. I think you're safe using these guys from any lawsuit situation if you go to that market rate. The numbers here are just staggering in terms of the replacement costs when you start looking at what's going to happen with the replacement costs.
Yeah.
I just did a complete replacement of concrete and followed all the laws that the state of Washington has, and it is expensive.
It's remarkable, yeah. I know.
And, we're not a charity. We are a port, and 4,000 voters are the ones that get to see what happens. And I'm a boat owner in the marina, so of those 100 and some people who are owners, I'm going to support the rate increase, because I'm also that 47. I want our community to spend their money wisely and have the stuff that the port generates for the community. The port is just not for these people that own these boats. It's the whole 4,700 of us. We want the park, the music of the park, the market, all the stuff that the port's doing to help this community. We like it. And I know why in the community we like what's going on. If you've been to any of those things. So I think you're doing the right thing, finally. I think this is the first board I've ever seen that is really on the ball. I've been in the marina business since I was 4 years old. It's 3 cents a foot. and everybody else would get five, you're getting three. But I don't know. think these guys have done any job.
Thank you, Ed.
Other comments, questions, lots of data. Bottom line that I keep hearing is this is on the light side, and Stuart, I love our vote.
I don't want to pay any more, but Stuart, light side, we're going to have some hard conversations here about what the right thing to do is. Mm-hmm. And so you're coming and taking this all in and reflecting back is really helpful and really important. I appreciate each of you being here tonight. And there are several other opportunities where we're going to have public hearings about all of this.
Right.
And so please, the magic dates.
Does Terry have more? Terry, do you have more of these with you?
The little fold out deal.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, so there is on October 16th, there's another work session where public is welcome to talk specifically about this at 8:30 a.m. here. And then there is a formal public hearing on November 15th at 6:30 p.m. here. And we're anticipating a decision in late November, November 28th. And one of the reasons that we did all of these meetings here rather than over at the marina office is so that we have an opportunity for people to come at different times of the day and tell us what you think. So please let people know.
I think this is the first evening meeting
The
port has had in how long?
It's been a while.
Ray? Juanita?
About a year and a half. When Jim was here, we were having evening meetings.
Okay.
About a year and a half, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's why we did it at this time.
Yeah, if you have voting friends or people that are also marina tenants, encourage them, if you talk to them, to come to some of these additional meetings and provide their input too. I think that'd be very helpful.
After tonight,
oh, yeah.
This report will be on the port's website,
right.
So you can ponder it some more. And because this is a hard decision. This is a hard decision.
It'll be on there's a banner across the front page. You can, there's a link there, but also under the governance tab, you drop down and it's 2018 Marina Rate Study. So that's another place to get it. And that also has the schedule of the meetings. So it'll tell you the meetings for the Marina Rate conversations for the comp plan and for the budget. All the upcoming meetings for the next 2 months.
We look forward to seeing you again.
Yes.
Thank you. So we'll have another opportunity. Do you want to say something else?
You made the statement it's going to be hard to make a decision. Are you talking about the proposed rates on page 12 or the cost of recovery rate? What is the intention? I can see the proposed 5.1 or 4.1 annual. It's not too bad of a hit, but if you go to the cost recovery on that 2018, it's not a couple of dollars a month, it's a couple of hundred dollars per month, even in the smaller ones. Mm-hmm. The 28 footers, more than doubles. If it goes all the way through. So if you're going to propose, I don't understand that statement. It's going to be a hard choice to make. I mean,
so
I know, you know, everybody else knows the rates are going to go up. Just how much? It's not bad if you're in the proposed on page 6, slide 12. But if you go into the cost recovery square foot.
So I think I can answer this.
Go ahead.
The proposed rates, those middle five columns for those 5 years, that's their recommendation. That's the little light, gradual, make this as easy on everyone as possible. They showed the current market and the cost recovery methods, what those would yield as a point of comparison to say, essentially, whoa, this is nowhere near what you might want to charge, but we're trying to do this slowly, thoughtfully, carefully, and ease it in, break the pain down. So, but those columns on the right-hand side are points of reference, points of comparison. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. That means I understand it too.
Yes.
As we said earlier, the cost recovery rates, we don't think the market will support those.
No.
Right.
But it will be interesting over the next 5 to 7 years to watch what other marinas do as the reality of facility replacement smacks everybody in the face. So, like,
you're really ahead of the curve since you don't have anything that needs to be done. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a failed breakwater.
Right. So for 1 year, that increase, $700,000, maybe not even 1 year, but a couple of years worth of capital expenditure. Yeah.
There's another thing that we have. We have income coming in from a piece of property that the port owns. That's a gold mine.
Yes.
Called the Ferry. And compare the parking revenue for our marina versus the parking revenue for Portsmouth.
Yes.
Yes.
And when the new foot ferry goes in, our parking revenue is going to go up.
Yes.
Like crazy. Mm-hmm. But I still, as a taxpayer, do not want to pay these guys mortgages.
Yeah.
And it's 4,700 of us, and probably 4,600 of us do not want to pay somebody's mortgage.
What we really want to see is, as stewards of the marina, we want to see Kingston to continue 15, 20, 30 years down the road. That's what we want to see. And in talking with these gentlemen and talking about the other marinas that he had on page 11,
yes,
the comparison, they basically told us a lot of these marinas are not going to be able to replace themselves.
Yeah.
They're not going to have the funds that it's going to take to fix themselves when their docks start failing and they're not going to have it. Their jetties, they're not going to have it. And so we don't want to end up in that same position, because it's really important that we keep going. And so that's why we're trying to look out so far in the future. It might seem illogical to some people, but truly that's what we're trying to do.
Any other comments? Okay. Then we'll move on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So we have a couple of action items on the agenda. The first is the Linvog Road holding lot project, which I'm assuming people are aware of. The port is working with Washington State Ferries, Washington State Department of Transportation, Kitsap Transit, and Kitsap County to develop the Linvog Road property, a kitty corner from the old Kingston Lumber, into a holding lot for the ferry traffic, with the idea that the current parking lot at the ferry holds about 2 boatloads, that this would hold at least another 2 boatloads, so you could cycle 4 boatloads without clogging up downtown Kingston. This has been a topic that has been discussed for a long time. In the mid-90s, this idea first came up. Washington Department of Transportation purchased 10-point-something acres up at Linvog for this purpose, and then operational concerns, or is it going to cost more money to have people up taking tickets up there and tickets down there, and how is this going to work? And kind of miraculously, the partners are now saying, especially DOT and WSF, hey, I don't know why I didn't think this was a great idea. This is a great idea. Let's do it. There is no money in the state budget for it. And so the four agencies, Kitsap Transit, obviously, because they're going to have a big impact on what happens with traffic, with parking, especially in the area when the ferry comes in. The four agencies were negotiating a memorandum of understanding among the four at this time that essentially says we each want certain things to come out of this. We want downtown cleared out. Kitsap Transit wants easy access for their buses straight down to the ferry. DOT wants to not have any increased operational costs, i.e. more staff. Kitsap County wants to make sure that the whole circulation works, recognizing that they're getting ready, and we've been working with them for months now on a project to improve walkability near the ferry and access of the complete streets. And so this partnership has been building. I think within the next 45 days there will be a signed memorandum of understanding, and I'm pretty excited about it. And and then the other half of it is that we have to work with DOT in particular to make sure that the way their rules are followed, because it is a state highway. And what we're proposing, the port is proposing to them, and again, we're hammering out details at this point, is that the port basically project manage and construct the lot. And DOT doesn't really do that very often, and they have recently enabled City of Paulsbo to do a roundabout on 305, with the city being the project manager. But what it really comes down to is they have 50 projects on their list. We have one. We want to get this done. We want to make it happen. And so the timeline on moving through the design and geotech and stormwater evaluation and so on and so forth for us is much shorter. We're much more nimble. We're small. And if we get the right authorizations from DOT, we'll be able to make this happen pretty clearly, I think, within 2 years. A lot of it depends on the construction window. And how bad the stormwater issues are. I mean, there's all of that stuff to be figured out. But if DOT project manages it, and this isn't a down on them, their plates are full. But if they project manage it, we're talking 5 years at least. And
maybe longer.
We can't wait 5 years to solve this problem. And this doesn't mean that some of the other things that are under discussion, one of them being the whole idea of an ingress-egress bypass, essentially, on First Avenue?
First now. The so current exit of the ferry.
So where we exit now, that it would be both coming in and exiting. That's still on the track and heading for design. But that is 10 years out. And there's also a discussion through the Kitsap Kingston Citizen Advisory Committee through the county of what to do with about $20,000 to do sort of short-term operational fixes, like better signage or the Washington State Patrol here on a more regular basis. So trying to figure out how to use the pieces we already have to play this game with the traffic through town. And so those are sort of three tracks that are moving along. And we'll have some advantage of looking at what actually happens with the ferry traffic before a design is finalized. I mean, it's pretty ideal situation. It's also a really technical moment. The DOT, not surprisingly, has a list of things they want to make sure we provide to do this right, and their own certain interesting language and perspective that we need to make sure we're working effectively with. And so what this agenda item is to request that we approve hiring for up to 100 hours over probably a 6 to 8 month period, a former transportation planning manager for the Kitsap County, who's familiar with all the players, all the language, to make sure that we get the entire framework in right. And we're looking at, as I said, a maximum of 100 hours at $60 an hour. And that wouldn't be exceeded until and unless we all agreed that it was necessary and useful, particularly recognizing that we're in between directors right now. And while I'm acting as project manager on this project, I think having someone that's very, very aware of the technical and operational details, I think, will be an asset. And also who has relationships with all of the agencies involved and has worked in Kingston for projects for 20 years. So that's the item on our agenda at this moment. Authorize a personal services contract with Greg Syok as described above, with work to begin immediately and a written agreement to be finalized before October 15th. And the particulars were the not to exceed $6,000 without prior. So is there a motion to approve this before we have discussion?
I make a motion that we approve a personnel services contract with Greg Syok as described above and work to begin immediately and a written agreement to be finalized before October 15th.
I'll second that.
Discussion.
Well, I think that since it's not written in stone at this point with an MOU, this understanding would be that upon completion of that MOU sign around, that it would be at that point we'd bring him on. But I know him very well, and he's well regarded with that group, I'm sure, you know, especially with several projects he's been involved with the Department of Transportation, yes, the state DOT. So as a point of reference, I guess
I am imagining that we would actually bring him on now so that the lead up to more than the MOU, mm-hmm, because that's fairly straightforward,
okay,
but it's the partnership agreement with DOT about project management that I want to make sure we get everything
perfect. Have a placeholder, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes sense. I think that I don't feel it's unlikely that an MOU will occur.
Correct.
I just thought we'd, but that makes sense.
And DOT wants to have those two things happen concurrently.
Yes, right.
They don't want to do an MOU until they know we're going to do it their way.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. That makes sense.
And were you going to... Oh, we'll wait till after this before I bring that up. Okay, so I agree that he should be a part of this. I think the sooner the better, to tell you the truth, because I think we're trying to move forward with this in steps, and in order to complete these steps, we need to have somebody that can work in tandem with these.
Yes.
Agencies, mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. All of us.
Yeah,
yeah,
good.
Mm-hmm. So, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Okay, the next item that is on the agenda is the organizational chart update, wage increases, and the new staff position. And so in our packet, we have some updates to the organizational chart that came out of our last conversation. And is there a motion to approve this agenda item as prepared, except that there really isn't?
All I see is a wage chart.
I apologize.
I've got this here, organizational chart.
Yeah, we have that.
Oh. Probably not in the wage chart.
I forgot to include Juanita's wage increase. You guys have that document.
Yes, okay, but we don't have here. Okay.
I think we had more discussion on the wage increase, correct? We have more discussion in reference to the wage increases.
Yes.
But we could we just approve the organizational chart?
I actually have had a chance to look at the organizational chart, turn it correctly. But from our previous discussions about this, this looks exactly like what we were suggesting. I don't see any concern with adopting this right now. I mean, at this point, I would move we accept the organizational chart as lined out.
Is that reliant on approving the wage increase, not the wage increases for existing staff, but additional money for these positions?
I don't get that impression at this point. I think that's another conversation, but to create a vacant position until filled doesn't require that we fill those positions at this time.
And I think that the rate increase would, when we approve the rate increase, then that would fill those positions.
Okay.
Because then we'd be approving the money for those positions.
So the proposal, as I understand it, is to accept the organization chart as presented and postpone the discussion about actually filling those positions with additional funding until...
Yes.
Until soon.
Yeah. Until we address the wage increase.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so friendly amendment?
I make a motion to approve the organizational chart as presented to us with the two vacant positions on there.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And just noting again that we're postponing the discussion about the funding of those additional positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not forever, but we need to absorb some of the conversation we've had over the last week or so. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any additional public comment before we head into executive session? Okay. So I think an executive session is now...
It's 20 till.
20 till...
20 to 8.
Probably 8:15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Yeah.